The boomer generation has really done a lot for the travel industry. It was them who really kick-started the whole backpacking movement back in the 60s and 70s, taking off for months, sometimes years, to far-flung destinations with little baggage, staying in hostels and YMCAs. It was this adventurous cohort who awakened our wanderlust and whetted our appetite for the elusive, authentic travel experience. The industry has never looked back. But does the travel industry still welcome boomers? A letter published recently in the travel section of The Age highlighted one person's experience of being prevented from booking a London hotel room because they were too old. The hotel's insurance policy prevents bookings for anyone over 60. Which got us wondering, how common a problem is this? Is the travel industry ageist? And what are the opportunities for those industry players willing to embrace inclusive tourism? In a moment, we're going to catch up with academic Simon Darcy and author Anne Ring. But first, let's go to Bill Metcalf, an adjunct lecturer with Griffith University, who had a similar experience when, upon turning 70, his travel insurance suddenly doubled. Hello, Bill. I understand you took this to court. Can you tell us what happened to you?
Well, thank you. It was a shock, Angela, and I couldn't believe my travel insurance went up, and I hadn't made a claim on travel insurance for years. Well, I decided to take it seriously, and I looked at the Queensland Anti-Discrimination Act and found there that the insurance agency is able to increase their fees according to age, but only if based on sound actuarial data adequately analyzed. And I thought, well, that's fair enough. So can I see the data? Well, the company refused to send me any data. And so then I went to the Discrimination Commission, and they instructed the company had to send me the data to back up the claim. They refused. Then, make a long story short, we ended up with the QCAT, which is Queensland Civil and Administrative Tribunal, with barristers and the lot, and they kept refusing to provide the data. And there was four instructions from the court. They had to provide the data. They kept refusing simply because they didn't have adequate data. And after this whole dragged out 2 years, during which agents from the company tried to bribe me. One bribe was they offered me free travel insurance for life if I would just go away and stop bothering them.
Is that right?
And I know. I look and I said, well, that's going to cost you a lot if you know, if it's really doing my thing. But anyway, to make a long story short, we ended up having to fight it all the way through. I had a barrister, and I had one of Australia's top forensic statisticians working with me. They eventually did provide some data, which then the professional statistician went through and said it doesn't show any relationship to age particularly. But the interesting thing was it did show a strong relationship to gender. Women of any age are more likely than men to make travel insurance claims. And it's not because they're sicker, it's because they're more likely to be robbed. And if they're robbed, they're more likely to have valuable things like jewelry on them. So there would be an argument for discriminating by gender.
But not by
age.
That's
not allowed. That's not allowed. But age, and of course, part of the catch is too to this is that in older age groups, men die faster than women, so the proportion of women increases. So if you find any relationship between age and travel insurance, it could simply be because there's more women in the older group than men.
Yeah.
But in the end, we had a small victory. I mean, I won't go into the whole detail because there was then a whole issue about whether this had to be fought in the New South Wales court or Brisbane court. Mm-hmm. So they did in the end have to apologize. They had to admit that they discriminated. They had to pay the expenses for my barrister and statistician, et cetera, et cetera.
Who were, I understand, also a little bit ageist towards you. Was that right?
Oh, appalling. Utterly appalling. At one point, this bastard on the other side a real classic silk from Sydney. He'd keep, when he would speak to the judge, he'd speak in a normal voice. And when he'd speak to me, he'd say, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, you know, and things like this. And at one point offered to help me get, I mean, I'm perfectly fit. I go to the gym every day, but it was this whole humiliation thing, trying to make it clear that as somebody over 70, I probably would be a bit senile and wouldn't be able to hear him.
That's right. And perhaps best stay at home anyway, Bill.
probably. Well, I mean, look, it really took extraordinary emotional drainage because it just was exhausting. And every time you'd go to court, I think we had 7 hearings, you'd know that you're going to be insulted and humiliated. At one point, the judge interrupted the counsel and said, excuse me, I'm much closer to Dr. Metcalf's age than you are, and that's offensive, so stop it.
Wow.
And that helped a bit.
Yes.
But, no, I mean, it was really appalling.
What a story. Thank you so much for telling us, Bill.
No problem.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Bill Metcalf with that story. Well, Simon Darcy is a professor of management in the UTS School of Business, specialising in inclusive organisational approaches for marginalised groups. He joins us now, along with ageism activist and author, Dr. Anne Ring. Hello, Anne. Hello, Simon. Simon, are these instances of prohibitive insurance restrictions common for older travellers more generally these days?
Well, hello, Angela, and thanks very much for having me on. And I'm coming to you from Gadigal land. Certainly there are a range of insurance issues that are prevalent across the areas of both ageing and disability, because insurance, under the Law Reform Commission, insurance companies are able to discriminate on a range of grounds. And they do so through, as Bill pointed out, having actuarial data in order to make these changes to the pricing mechanisms that are involved. However, that's well and good for a class, but as we know now, we've got our boomer age groups are aging in a more healthy way, are adventurous as ever. And what's amazingly surprising about this from a tourism perspective is that we've got the Australian Tourism Commission in its Thrive 2030 making one of the priority areas that of senior Australians and people with access needs, including all forms of disability. Mm-hmm. So we're being encouraged to travel. There are sections of the market that are making it more difficult, while other sections of the market, for example, cruise ships, have embraced older people, seniors, and those with disability, going on and making them accessible and inclusive trips.
Mm. And should age discrimination be allowed in the insurance industry?
Well, absolutely not. I think it's quite simply a case of people signing up with what problems they have, and those with more problems, they have to identify them, which is fine. But to make that a discriminatory thing is quite wrong. And I just want to quickly add that I did interview Bill some time ago, and I mm-hmm. just think that he and his two old and very experienced associates should be regarded as the three musketeers, and there should be some very good TV show demonstrating, you know, sort of what older people can do to stand up for their own rights.
Very nice. Is ageism quite an issue in the tourism industry?
Well, there's some quite a bit of stereotyping, and as Stephen mentioned, cruise ships now are becoming a thing for older people. But one travel writer says that older people are being stereotyped as cruisers or campers, you know, which is a very limiting kind of
picture.
Can
I just say that though, there are some cruisers, though, and their point of sale is that there are no children allowed on there.
Well, there's certainly ageism at the other end as well in many things. I mean, some young people aren't allowed in some sorts of areas as well. I quite agree. But the discrimination against older people is much more widespread, that's for sure.
Yes. Simon, what sort of other issues are older travellers likely to encounter?
Oh, look, and coming back to that idea about how is ageism playing out, there are a multitude of academic studies that show that certainly in the advertising and the representation of the tourism industry advertisements, there's been a predisposition for younger, white, tanned and under 30 of a particular body type that's only just starting to be challenged in the way that commercials are put together for the industry. So there's certainly an understanding. We know the World Tourism Organization's estimated that by 2025, 1 in 8 international trips will be undertaken by a retiree aged 60 or above. We know that this market...
Sorry, Simon, can I just interrupt? How many? What was that figure that you just gave?
That was 1 in 8 international trips will be taken by a retiree aged 60. So you've got this very strange two-phase system going on within responses to market opportunities, where you're wanting companies with people to spend money, but at the same time creating unnecessary barriers. I mean, poor Bill in the court system for 2 years.
That's right.
There are people like Bill that will do that.
Well, yes, extraordinary. I omitted to ask him how much that whole process cost him. Just want to share some of the text messages that have come in. This one, I used to work in the travel industry. The entire thing is set up for cashed up boomers. These examples are an anomaly and it's just entitled people who are used to the world catering to them having a moan when travel products tailor to others. And this Henry at Bondi, I have stage 4 cancer and I'm 61 and on both accounts I fear going to motels in case they somehow know my age and condition. Oh, that's unfortunate, isn't it? And this one here, the only reason the insurers can get away with this nonsense can be found in supportive and enabling governments whose parties are bought through political donations. In short, the problem is systemic. And Yvonne on Gadigal Land writes, "Bravo, Bill Metcalf. Pass on personal regards from 70-plus year traveller." Our guests at the moment are Bill Metcalf. Simon Darcy, rather, professor in management at UTS Business School, and Anne Ring, who's an ageism activist and author of Engaging with Aging. And so to both of you, is there recourse for older travellers if they do encounter ageism?
Well, there's two levels of recourse. There's the recourse that any traveller can have, and that is applying to sort of the business that's discriminating. There's actually an Australian Federation of Travel Agents, and there's an airline customer advocate that anyone can go to. But for people who want some sort of support with understanding, there are organisations like COTA and National Seniors who are very willing to take up the cudgels for this kind of discriminatory issue. And there's also the Every Age Counts campaign, which is very much against ageism, and it's a national campaign which takes up issues of ageism for older people. So there are those sorts of avenues as well to look at.
Mm. And Simon, what are the crossovers for people with disability and tourism?
Well, that's a really interesting area, because those people with disability face these as much younger people trying to travel. So you've got, depending on whether it's somebody with a mobility disability, either with a hearing impairment or deaf, a vision impairment or blind, there are a series of stereotypes that need to be challenged. And in a very similar way, there are stereotypes about, well, why would somebody want to travel if they've got X disability? Well, for the same reasons as everybody else, to experience new cultures, meet new people, and, go to those places that you've aspired to go to for a whole series of personal reasons. So, and to give Australian Tourism Commission's been doing some great work on this with Thrive 2030, where they've identified accessible tourism and senior tourism as areas that are important for the market, and it's much easier to have firstly an accessible experience and then be inclusive of all those intersectional issues that come up and can create issues at time for whether a person's the gender of a person's sexuality, their religious background, or whatever it happens to be. The hospitality industry should be welcoming, and these new efforts are being done from an Australian perspective and also by the UN World Tourism Organization should be applauded for trying to break down some of the barriers and constraints.
Mm-hmm. And I understand you choose to travel with two grandchildren, is that right?
That is absolutely right, two at a time. That's about what we can manage. But I do feel that sort of intergenerational experience is good both for the children and for the grandparents and for the people around them. We went for a wonderful trip to Alaska on a ship, an exploratory ship, and the young people were, our grandchildren were 9 and 13, terrific friends with everybody on board, drew us in because we're not quite as sociable. And by the end, I think everybody was, it was a much more inclusive feeling, and that was generated by the four of us, actually. And I think that caught sort of intergenerational approach benefits everybody, and I'd love to see more of that. And it is happening, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's nice to hear. My name's Angela Gutierrez. I'm in the chair for Hillary Harper today here on Life Matters. I'd just like to share with you some of the texts that have come in. I've been involved in the travel industry for 40 years, writes Arthur in Sydney, and the problem with insurance and age surcharge has been around for a very long time. I remember one instance when a lady over 65 who had a valve replacement 10 years prior was charged a huge surcharge on her policy, even though she was fit as a bull. And later a gentleman walked in, middle-aged, overweight, heavy smoker. He had to sit down to catch his breath after climbing up one flight of stairs, but his insurance policy was a fraction of what the other lady paid. And this, insurance companies are exempt from all discrimination acts brought about by the government. Why should they be so? Is that right, Simon?
Yes, that is the case. They are able to discriminate on grounds. But I'd be saying for people that feel that they've been discriminated against, the Australian Human Rights Commission covers these areas. Taking a comparison is reasonably simple. The advantage is that is that the individual may get some recourse. The organisation might be able to change the way it moves forward. That only works for that individual. So what happened to Bill with going to a federal court is that it's a cost jurisdiction. And it's a massive risk for the individual. So my other tips would be shop around when you're looking for insurance. And as a person with a disability, somebody that uses a power chair, I deal with these issues when I travel all the time. And certainly in taking out travel insurance, there are companies that it's just like any other issue that somebody might have taken account of. And there weren't large premiums put on top. So shop around is a really important one. And, of course, after COVID, the intergenerational travel was really accentuated because one of the main motivations still in travel is to visit friends and relatives. So get out there and have a crack. And if the barrier comes up, challenge.
Simon, thank you so very much for that. I should just point out we reached out to the Insurance Council for comment, and a spokesperson responded, insurance premiums are determined by risk factors, especially for senior travellers, as the likelihood of illness and injury rises with age. Comparably, younger drivers often have higher premiums to reflect their novice driving skills and elevated road risk. Not all policies are the same, so it's important for senior travellers to be upfront about their pre-existing medical conditions, shop around and choose the right level of cover for their individual circumstances. That was the comment from the Insurance Council of Australia. Well, thank you very much to our guest, Bill Metcalf, who told us his story earlier on. He's a historian and adjunct lecturer at the School of Environmental Science at Griffith University. Simon Darcy, thank you. He's a professor in management at UTS Business School, specialising in inclusive organisational approaches approaches for marginalised groups. And Anne Ring, thank you. She's the ageism activist and author of Engaging with Ageing.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.